Morning, everyone.
Morning.
She is so excited today to share with you a message from God's Word. And it's already 2010. It was almost 3 years ago. It was the Olympics in Beijing. And as Chinese people, we felt so proud of our nation to be able to host the Olympics. And the opening ceremony and the closing ceremony were spectacular. And many people felt that Chinese people, they finally have stood up in the whole world. I always enjoy Olympics because in the Olympics I see those athletes so focused, so motivated, and so dedicated about their mission. What is the Olympic athlete's mission? What do they go to the Olympics to do? What is it? Diana? Sport? Yes, they go there to do sport. The mission is about sports, yes. But they go there to compete. They go there to win a medal. They hope that they can win maybe the gold medal. They are representing the country. They are trying to bring glory to the country that they represent, to the team that they represent. In the end, of course, they would also be rewarded with the glory, the honor, and I think that's the best reward for the hard work. But the fact is, Olympic athletes, they only compete once, how many years? 4 years. What do they do during other times? Training, exactly. That's what I thought about. At the end, after the end of one Olympic game, before the start of another, if the athletes are still going to compete in the next Olympic game, they will need to dedicate themselves to training. Do they just train by themselves alone? No. They train with a team of athletes. And there should also be a coach who will give them instructions about what's the best way to improve in the skills so that they can have another chance to try to get the gold medal to bring glory to the country, and they themselves will also share the honor and be rewarded for their hard work. And they are together with other athletes in order to be encouraged so that they will not be lazy. When they are by themselves, most likely, just like Michael Phelps, after he had gotten 8 gold medals, he went back home to smoke marijuana. If he was always with the team, encouraged by the teammates, and being led and guided and being kept accountable by the coach, probably that would not have happened. As believers of Jesus Christ, I see that we are very much like the Olympic athletes because God has also given us a global mission. What is that global mission? I'll keep repeating that until everybody remembers it. What is the global mission that God has given us? Are you hearing me? Anybody? David? Okay, share the gospel. Remember, it's in Acts 1:8. That's the next message that I preached in 2009 from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. And the key verse of the whole book of Acts is in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The main idea is that the apostles and the disciples will receive power from the Holy Spirit, and then they will be the witnesses of Jesus Christ from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. That's a global mission that Jesus Christ has given to all his disciples so that they will not feel lost. But you know what? Global mission very few of us can probably go to a foreign country once a year to share the gospel with people in a foreign country. Even if you're able to go to the foreign country once a year, what do you do during other times? I think it will be very similar to what the Olympic athletes do before another Olympic Games starts. Training, preparation. But you don't just stay at home to study the Bible by yourself. I'm afraid most of those people finally will become very lazy, and they might give them excuses. I mean, I can just study the Bible and be a good Christian by myself. Why do I have to come to church, for example? Today we will answer that question. It is because when we are by ourselves, we can be lazy. Nobody will keep us accountable. We also need other believers to encourage us to continue to be focused on this most important mission or task, what to do for believers of Jesus Christ, so that we will not waste our time, our resources, on what is not important in God's eyes. We also need a coach. Who is the coach of believers of Jesus Christ? It is Jesus Christ. It is God. And He gives us the instructions through the Bible. And the pastors, the preachers, the Sunday school teachers, they are the ones to help us to live out the instructions of our head coach, so that we will be prepared when the time has come for us to share the gospel even in a foreign country. This training will make spiritual babies. After we have become believers of Jesus Christ, we are not spiritual babies. But this training will make spiritual babies into spiritual grown-ups. How can spiritual babies grow up? How can babies grow up? By drinking milk, right? We need to drink pure spiritual milk. That is God's word. But we don't just stay at the baby stage. We need to go to a point that, like the babies do, they will eat finally solid food. Spiritually, we also need to take solid food. For athletes, I train myself. I found out that besides carbohydrates, I need protein to make me strong. How about beef? How about rib? Today, we will look at Acts chapter 2, verse 40 to 47, and see that how we can grow spiritually by taking the spiritual solid food before we go to witness to others about Jesus Christ. And we need beef and rib. Spiritual beef and spiritual rib. BFB. RIP. Rib. Sounds like rib, right? What does that mean? What does that represent? You will see. Are you ready? Please open your Bible to Acts chapter 2, if you have not yet. We will start from verse 40. That tells us the background before verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. Acts is the fifth book in the New Testament. Let me read it. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them. This he is Peter, the apostle. He preached a powerful sermon about who Jesus Christ is and what he did on the cross for all mankind's sins and rose from the dead. And then he also told all those people listening to him about how Jesus Christ had fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies about his first coming to earth to be the Savior of mankind. And then Peter pleaded with them, verse 40, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Just like We are also living in a corrupt generation in this world with all corrupt sinful values in the world. Verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That was amazing. By the power of the Holy Spirit, people were willing to turn from themselves to God, to Jesus Christ, to trust in the only way that they can be saved from the penalty of their sins into hell. Only through Jesus Christ. What happened after that? What happened after they had accepted this message, they had believed in Jesus Christ? What did the apostles do? According to verse 41. I believe the apostles and the disciples who worked with the apostles made sure that these people indeed had believed in Jesus Christ alone, clarified what they believed in. Immediately after that, they baptized 3,000 people. We have seen maybe 10 people being baptized at the end of worship service, but 3,000 people. And can you imagine 3,000 people being baptized? Here it tells us the importance of baptism in the church. This is the first part of the B, okay? B for baptism. Why is baptism so important? It is because baptism symbolizes that the new life that a new believer of Jesus Christ has in Jesus Christ. A new life. According to Romans chapter 6 verse 3, if you have a Bible, open your Bible to Romans chapter 6 verse 3. And Romans is the sixth book in the New Testament. Okay, when you come here, I want you to be familiar with God's Word. Know where each book is in your Bible. I hope you can bring your own Bible so that you can also take notes when I share with you God's Word from a particular passage. Take some notes so that you can review it, so that you remember it, so that you'll put that into practice during the weekday. Romans chapter 6 verse 3. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Baptism symbolizes that we are making a commitment to die to our sinful past. Just like Jesus Christ died for our sins, we died to our sins. Being buried, Jesus Christ, we got under the water when we were baptized. Like we, our old life, was dead, buried. And then when we get out of the water, it's like Jesus Christ was resurrected. We have a new life with Jesus Christ, being connected with Jesus Christ when we make this commitment. So that's why it is so important. Guess why even Jesus Christ, he himself, received baptism. You know where that is? That Jesus Christ, he himself, was baptized. There are different passages that talk about that. But open your Bible to Matthew. That's the first book of the New Testament. Chapter 3, verse 13. Okay? Here it talks about Jesus Christ asking John the Baptist, to baptize him. Matthew chapter 3 verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? You should be the one who baptized me. You are the master teacher. You are the Messiah, not me. I'm just the one who is preparing for you to do your work. But Jesus replied in verse 15, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. So Jesus Christ, he himself wanted his disciples to do this, but he set an example for us to follow himself. Everything that Jesus Christ taught, he was able to live that out himself. Matthew 28, verse 18, the same book, to the very end of the book, the next chapter, verse 18 to 19. It tells us that Jesus Christ makes this the most important part of the most important command before he ascended into heaven after his resurrection. That in verse 19, Matthew chapter 28, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. That is one of the most important things that a disciple should do after he has believed in Jesus Christ. Being baptized symbolizes not only that we set apart, we leave our past symbolized. We have separate from that. We are dead to that. Also that we have a new life with Jesus Christ. It also means that we are connected with the body of Christ when we are when we are baptized, symbolizing that we partake in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then we're joined with Jesus Christ. How do we join with Jesus Christ? Through coming to the church. Because Jesus Christ, through the Bible, tells us that the church is the body of Jesus Christ. So how can we be connected to Jesus? Through being connected to the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. 1 Corinthians is the seventh book in the Bible after Romans. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ. All these are believers of Jesus Christ. They are the church. And each one of you is a part of you, a part of it. So if you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are part of the body of Jesus Christ. You are part of it. Cannot be disconnected from that. That's why we come to church. The day of my baptism was one of the most memorable days of my life. That day, before I was baptized, I shared a testimony about how Jesus Christ changed my life. Not only that he removed my fear for the punishment of my own sins because Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose from the dead, but also how he changed my life to part way from my old sinful life and has given me power to live a righteous, holy life according to his will by his power. More than 300 people were there to witness that when I was baptized, and I still remember that, and that continues to come back to me to confirm that I belong to Jesus Christ. I should stay connected to Jesus Christ no matter what happens in this world. Jesus Christ loves me, and he wants me to continue to be connected to him. That's the only way that we can triumph in this world that is trying to overcome us by sins. Have you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior yet? Are you baptized yet? Knowing how important baptism is for your spiritual growth, it is the first matter of faith. Baptism. It is God's will for you to be baptized and to be connected to the church and never leave the church. Never leave Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, the church. Then let me know that you decide to be baptized, and I'll explain from the scriptures and tell you more about baptism and how to prepare you for the most important ceremony in your life. I was so excited before I was baptized. That was the most important ceremony of my life. I hope all of you who are not baptized yet but have believed will also share this excitement to make a commitment to be connected to Jesus Christ through connected to the church. So we grow spiritually through baptism. That's the first part of the spiritual deed. What is the second part of the deed? Represented by F. Fellowship. Fellowship. Fellowship with God and fellowship with believers in the church. Acts chapter 2 verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. See, all the believers of Jesus Christ in the first church in history, after they had believed, they were baptized, and then they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles. What is the teaching of the apostles today for us? At that time, it included the Old Testament and what the Holy Spirit guided the apostles to teach by helping them to recall what Jesus Christ taught them. And then the apostles taught. They wrote letters. Now they're being recorded and they're being collected and then confirmed as being inspired by the Holy Spirit. And now we have that in the New Testament. See, we also have the teaching of the apostles, that is the Word of God in the Bible. John chapter 16, verse 12 tells us that. John chapter 16, verse 12. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, Jesus said. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. Devoting to knowing, understanding, and applying the Word of God in the Bible is crucial in helping us to have fellowship with God. If you had a chance to read 1 John, the main idea of 1 John is that we have fellowship, we have intimate relationship as with a closest friend. This relationship we should have with God. It tells us three things about God in 1 John. God is light. In Him there is no darkness. And those who walk in the night by having fellowship with God will live a holy life. Second, God is love. As a result, those who have fellowship with God would love one another, would love brothers and sisters in Christ. And thirdly, God is nice. And that's why whoever is willing to believe in Jesus Christ and have fellowship with God has eternal life. There are 19 occurrences of the Greek word for fellowship, that's koinonia, in the New Testament. And they all talk about the unique sharing that Christians have with God and with other Christians. This is what fellowship, the second part of the spiritual deed, means. Fellowship with God and believers in the church. When all believers of Jesus Christ are willing to dedicate themselves to the apostles' teaching in the Bible. Not only knowing that, understanding that, but also doing that. Guess what? Their minds will be closer and closer. They have a common understanding about God and about themselves and the same goal that God has given them. So they can be closer to one another as well. That is fellowship with other believers, based on fellowship with God first. If you don't have fellowship with God, you cannot have true fellowship with other believers of Jesus Christ. And this is a crucial step for spiritual growth during your training stage before you go witness for Christ. So, to grow spiritually, we need the spiritual BFD. What does B stand for? Baptism. What does F stand for?
Fellowship
with God first, and fellowship with other believers of Jesus Christ. And here, this passage tells us that not only did they dedicate themselves to the apostles' teachings, but also to the fellowship through the breaking of bread, taking the Lord's Supper, and then have a fellowship meal after that, and also to prayer. That's how they had fellowship with one another. And that's why we also do this now. This is the model of what people, believers in the church, should do to continue to grow spiritually so that they will be equipped to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. Now we have finished the B part. Now the RIP. What does R stand for? R stands for respectful fear of God in the church. Respectful fear in the church. Acts chapter 2 verse 43. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Having experienced Christ's death and resurrection through baptism and being able to have fellowship with God and other believers should produce in our heart a deeper sense of appreciation of God and what He has done for us. This should also produce in us a love, respect, and fear for God. Realizing how great God's love is for us, we should not only feel that God is good, God is love, God is like a friend to me, but also knowing that God is the Creator, God can also take away our life away if we are not living under His will. We should also have that fear for God, that loving fear, respect for God. So coming to church to worship God, on one hand, it's joyful. That's why we sing praises to God. We should be very joyful. But at the same time, it should be no less respectful than going to a wedding. When you go to a wedding, what do you do? You're joyful, you dress up, you give your best to show respect to the occasion. That's why when you come to church, dress up if you can, not to impress people, but to honor God. Give your best to God when you come to worship God. In respect, in fear, besides having joy when you worship God and sing praises to God. But worship is a lifestyle. It's not about just coming to church on Sundays and then worship God, because the Bible tells us that worship is a lifestyle, a way to present our lives as a living sacrifice to God every day. If that's the case, besides Sundays, weekdays, we should also live our lives with loving fear, respect of God, because God is always watching you. He loves you. He loves me. When we are living in a way that is sinful, it hurts God, If God really loves you, He will want to discipline you so that you will turn away from these harmful, sinful ways. So, the first element of the spiritual rift is respectful fear of God in the church and in your daily living. Now the second part of the rift, eliminating individualism, our and the I, in eliminating individualism through our church life. Verse 44, Acts chapter 2, verse 44. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. What did you hear being repeated? The word that was repeated? That I tried to emphasize? Look at these verses, verses 4, 44 to 46. What are the words that are being repeated? That means they are important. Anybody paying attention at all? Which word being repeated? Let me tell you, three times. Anyone?
Together.
Good. Now you are paying attention. There's no point for me to continue on if you are not paying attention, right? So, here we see that being together as believers of Jesus Christ is very important. Being together. The believers of the first church in history, they were willing to share what they had with one another. They were willing to even sell their possessions to be given to those in need, those poor, those needy. They were willing to sell what they have in order to meet other people's needs. And they met together gladly and sincerely every day to have fellowship meals. They depended on one another for their needs. We feel it's, some of us might come to church feeling like sometimes it's a burden. But it's just once a week. But these new believers of Jesus Christ in the first church in history, they met every day, having such close, intimate fellowship in a way that helps to meet each other's needs. What a beautiful picture of love and joy and fellowship. This is the kind of fellowship that we, as believers of Jesus Christ, to pursue in the church as well. Some of you might say, isn't this like socialism or communism, especially those who grow up in a communist country like I did in mainland China. But this is not socialism or communism. Because in socialism and communism, you have no choice. You have to give up all your possessions, and then they will be evenly distributed among all people. But here, all these people, they voluntarily, willingly gave up what they had to meet the needs of those who had a need. So voluntary, not mandatory, compulsory, not by force, but they willingly did that to meet a need, not to evenly distribute, but whoever has a need, sell it. Give that to that person to meet a need. Can we practice that in our church? In churches in the 21st century? I would say probably not. And because 20 centuries later, it's very different. I can understand the demands of our job, the demands of our life. Life is much more complicated than before. I understand that. And most believers cannot sell their possessions in order to meet other believers' needs. And because of their jobs and the complexities of life, it's hard for us to have a super huge apartment complex that everyone in the church needs together every day and meet every day, have fellowship every day and meet each other's needs every day. But we can still cherish fellowship like they did whenever we meet regularly. It might be weekly that you have Bible study fellowship in the church on Friday night for youth and college students. Whenever you come, cherish the time that you have together. Not just to receive the knowledge, but to cherish the relationship that you have with one another. Find out one another's needs. Some of those you can take part in providing. Do what God has given you to meet the need of a brother or sister in the fellowship. Or what you cannot do with even money, pray to God, to ask God to help. If you cannot meet a weekly night of the Korean singles group and also the couples group, we meet monthly, but still regularly we meet. Whenever we meet, we should cherish the relationship that we have. Besides receiving more knowledge, it is more about this sharing, this relationship, and ultimately we should be more thankful to God through this common love that we share in Jesus Christ. I believe this is the prevention medicine for many psychological disorders, including depression and many people who have suicidal thoughts, because they lack social support, because they're always by themselves. They think that with the money that they earn from their job, they can provide everything that they need. Guess what? There are some needs that cannot be met by just money. We need one another. We were created as social people. We need to have social life. We need to have a community to belong to that meets the deepest needs in our heart that even money cannot meet. Because many people who are cured from psychological disorders when they have received social support from family, from friends, that actually is the most powerful medicine to people with psychological disorders. When people are together in the community, they also keep each other accountable. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. You know what is the mission Jesus Christ has given you. Let's do it. Don't be lazy. And when you are doing something that is sinful, and not a believer notices that and say, quit sinning. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting God. This displeases God. And if you do not repent, at a certain point, God might choose to cut short your knife. A knife that is useless, that is not willing to be used by God. Although salvation, we can be sure, once we believe in Jesus Christ, we'll never lose our salvation. Once I have believed in Jesus Christ, I know for sure that I'm going to heaven. God guarantees that. But this night, if we are not willing to live faithfully for God, God who is the creator and sustainer of life might choose to take that away. As you will see from Acts, there are examples of that. God has provided us the best prevention medicine for problems caused by individualism. Everything is about me in this society, in this world. And they are amplifying that. That's the only thing that is important, you. But that has caused so many problems, including that people have no commitment to any relationship. They date today, 1 month later, they break up. They get married today in Las Vegas, and then they get divorced tomorrow. They have a job today and they don't like it. They have no commitment to the boss. Sorry, I don't like the job. I don't like your boss. I'm leaving. That's it. Similarly, many people change churches very frequently. Because they have no commitment, no sense of belonging to the community. Through the years that my wife and I lived in apartments, either in Dallas and here, I found out that every 6 months, my neighbors would change. Every 6 months. And I stayed in Dallas for a whole 5 years in the same apartment. And I just saw people kept coming and going. Even here in Baton Rouge, my neighbors kept changing. I just sometimes wonder, what's going on? It's a lot of trouble moving, okay? There are a lot of things more important in life than wasting time moving. That's why we need to come to the church in order to eliminate the poison of individualism on each one of us, sometimes without knowing it. John Wesley wrote, "The gospel of Christ knows no religion but social, no holiness but social holiness. The body of Christ is incomplete without us, and we are incomplete without the body of Christ. Community life is not an option for Christian, but a basic aspect of Christianity. So don't feel that coming to church is a burden, but desire to have this loving community life in Christ in the church together, and God will do wonderful things through us when we are joined together." So we grow spiritually by baptism, fellowship with God, and also with true believers of Jesus Christ, and then RIP, spiritual RIP. What does R stand for? Respect for God, respectful fear of God when we are in the church, when we are in life. So when you're sitting, how should we sit? When you show respect to the King, Jesus Christ. And then, I. What does I stand for? I see that you're thinking. Let me give you a hint. Individualism. Eliminating individualism. And lastly, the third element of the spiritual food, RIP, praise of God in the church. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Praising God. See, when we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, it started from the promise from Jesus Christ in Acts 1:8 that believers of Jesus Christ will receive the Holy Spirit. To the second message that I preached, the first message of this year, from Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 13, it talks about that the believers were getting ready to receive the Holy Spirit so that they could have power to live out God's mission for them. And for us, that's the secret for us to have a powerful new year, as I shared last time. We need to prepare by PC, I mentioned, by prayer, and by being controlled by the Holy Spirit all the time. And then we will have the result of being controlled by the Holy Spirit, another PC. What is that? Power. Powerful witnessing. And then we'll see conversion of people coming to believe in Jesus Christ. Some will choose to reject, and we learn that we should not be upset by that. And today, we have learned that after we have received the power and been able to live out the power to be powerful witnesses of Jesus Christ in our lives, there is also a time that, like Olympic athletes, after they have competed in one Olympics, there's a time for them to train, to get ready for another one. And that's what we do in the church through be rich. When we have experienced the joy of being connected to the body of Christ, of the true, meaningful, loving fellowship with God and also other believers of Jesus Christ, and that we show respect having this attitude towards God so that we can learn and apply God's word in our lives, that we, through our loving community life in Christ, we will eliminate individualism in our lives, then we should be able to sing praises to God naturally, joyfully, and that gives us power and good testimony of who we are. That's why you see that verse 47, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Guess what? In this world, many people, they are dying because they only have individualism as the only choice. They have never experienced the power of loving community life in Christ, in the church. And we can live that out, and I believe that will be very attractive to those people who only have individualism and are caught up in all kinds of individual problems, sins, and psychological problems. And God will use that testimony to bring the unbelievers to Christ. That's what we see here. And I believe if we do that as well, God will bring unbelievers to the church so that they can also experience the power of the Holy Spirit and the joy of growing in Jesus Christ through spiritual rip. Let's pray. Oh dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us. After we have received the most important mission from Jesus Christ to be his witnesses globally by the power of the Holy Spirit, how we could receive the power and stay in this power for the rest of our year to be powerful witnesses for Jesus Christ, that you have also taught us that we have a very precious life by being connected to the church, to the body of Jesus Christ, through baptism, through fellowship with God and through fellowship with other believers, and through respectful fear of God, through eliminating individualism in our lives, through having meaningful community life in the church, and praising God in our lives. I just pray that you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, let us live this out and draw all people, all unbelievers, to Jesus Christ through our loving testimony. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.